There are a few requirements to have to be rejoicing in God. First one would be the expectation. Second one is the excitement. Third one would be the most of all, faith in God. I'm sure you all have noticed that there hasn't none of these three have anything to do with the current circumstance. You can be neck deep difficult situation, still you can rejoice in God. How can it be done? Because we can have a different perspective. Even the situation might be difficult, even though you might have a terrible condition, but you can look at it from the heavenly perspective or earthly perspective, or known as human perspective. With that in mind, we find four individuals this morning. Number one is Elizabeth. Number two is unborn child, John the Baptist. Number three, it would be Mary, mother of Jesus. And number four would be Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. These people had the joy in their heart. They were rejoicing in God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. How can they be in the middle of the darkest time of his nation, Israel? Because they knew, understand the excitement, expectation, and most of all, faith in God. We will look at it one at a time. So, by the way, just side note, no extra charge for this. Life is short. No sense in being ugly to ourselves and ugly to those who are around us. It just makes life long and hard. So let's rejoice in God. We will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in you because we know that you are God Almighty. There's nothing out of control from your hand. You never say, wow, I didn't know what happened. You always know. So nothing could catch you off guard. But we somehow think that you lost control. Let us remember that by faith, we know you are in control. Teach us this morning so that we may rejoice in you. And we also pray for our troops around the world. We ask you to put the hedge of protection around them and keep them safe. As the scorching heat is rising up in Afghanistan and especially in Iraq, when the temperature degrees goes up to 120 degrees and our soldiers have to patrol the cities around, the town around with the full combat gears. We're asking you to put your capable hands around them and protect them. And you're willing let this war to settle down soon so they may come back to their families. And most of all, we pray that your Holy Spirit speak to their heart. They may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we also pray for our uniformed personnel around this community, law enforcement personnel, and the firefighters, especially this time of the fire season. We just had a Madera Canyon fire. We're asking you to watch over them. Again, put the hedge of protection around them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 39 in chapter 1. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women," note the word among women, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Elizabeth knew that she was carrying this child who is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. But she had to wonder, okay, who is the Messiah? Who is the one who is going to bring us to the salvation from the Roman Empire? But the answer came very clear when she heard the greeting of Mary. Her babe in the womb leaped with joy. And it's as if she was saying, "He is here. The Messiah is here," and with her mother. So she was filled with the Holy Spirit. One word that filled her lips is the word blessed. Three times we see it, blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed is for this woman, Mary. But however, if you notice, blessed are you among women, not above. That is so true. Let's move on to the verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. We're just repeating one more time. This time is the joy of the unborn son, John the Baptist. This is probably the time when the unborn baby, John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit. As it mentioned in the prophesied in verse 15 by the angel Gabriel. Even before his birth, John the Baptist was rejoicing in Jesus Christ, just as he did throughout his earthly ministry. As John the Baptist, he would have a great privilege introducing the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to the Jewish nation. I must stop right here and remind you. This unborn child inside of Elizabeth's womb is a human baby. Stop there. Think with me. There are 2 million babies get killed in America every year. 2 million babies. If you calculate that, that's 7,576 babies per day. Are you with me so far? 7,576 babies a day. 7,576 lives a day. Per hour, 315 lives being eliminated per hour. That means about over five babies get killed every minute in America, just alone in America. Democrats, liberals, and Planned Parenthood says it's a blob of flesh, it's a fetus. They're right, it's a fetus. By the way, the fetus is the baby in Latin. So they even claim that it's a baby. But they said, no, it's not. Well, for the right of mother, woman's right. So just get rid of that child. Because under the name of inconvenience, we've been killing babies for over 2 million of them every year since the 1960s. Folks, you can add all the casualty in all the wars America have been involved since from the day one, 1776, all the way to now. And you add all the casualty from auto accident, heart attack, or dying with the cancer. Even in, you can add them all, you still cannot top them more than 2 years. Less than 4 million people got killed with those things. But each year, we kill 2 million babies. We can stop this abortion, not with bombing the abortion clinic, not murdering the abortion doctor. We can diligently pray for those babies and pray for the mothers of those babies. They don't have to kill the babies. If they don't want the child, they can have them adopted. If you know somebody who is considering abortion, tell them don't. It's a person. It's a life in that womb. Let's move on to the verse 46. By the way, I have to say this before we go. If you had abortion, I'm not condemning you, okay? You dealt with God, ask God to forgive you, God forgave you, move on. You don't need to dwell on it. Move on. God forgave you. God doesn't remember. Don't remind him every time. Verse 46, And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit, on the line, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. This is joy of the Mary. She's singing, I guess, a song or the kind of praying out loud. For behold, henceforth all generation will be called blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their throne and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with the good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. This song was called as a Magnificat because that's a word that's been used in the Latin word, and it's a great prayer and a great praise and worship of God. This resembled Hannah's song that you will find in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. However, it has a 12 different indirect reference to the Old Testament. What does it mean? It means that Mary was a student of the Scripture. She had the word in her heart. That's why in time it was coming out of her, from her heart to our God. It is no wonder why the angel Gabriel said that she is a favored one. Mary's song shows a fertility of trusting ourselves in political power or in riches. Her trust has been in God and it has been rewarded. I ask you on the line, verse 47, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. This means that Mary knew she needed a Savior. Mary knew she needed a Savior. Before we go any further, I need to talk to you about these things. And I want you to listen carefully. This is not a Catholic bashing time. Okay? Some people think that as a Protestant, we should go after a Catholic. No, they are brothers and sisters in the Lord. If they are born again Christian, they are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We should not bash them. However, there are some doctrines that we have to bring it to our attention to understand. There are some doctrines in Catholic are against the Scripture. So I'm going to point this out to you in a loving way, and you guys decide whether you should take it or not. But I highly recommend to consider it and compare against the Word of God. First one would be the Mary mediatrix. That means that the belief asserts that Mary mediates the salvation Christ won for us on the cross, and the one of God's grace come to us except through Mary. They believe that Christ's incarnation, Christ coming to human form, was solely dependent on the agreement of Mary, willing to bear a child, willing to raise that child, and nurse that child. So if Mary didn't agree with God, there wouldn't be Jesus. If there was no Jesus, there wouldn't be no salvation. So everything was hinged on Mary. Is that true? No, it's not. Let's keep your finger in the book of Luke here, and let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Don't sit there and tell your wife, you turn your Bible, honey. No, you turn your Bible too. Chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ. Does it not say man, Jesus Christ, and the Virgin Mary? So, idea of Mary being a mediator, no, that's not true. Number two doctrine that we need to bring to your attention is Immaculate Conception. This is the belief that Mary was self-conceived without original sin. And they insist that Mary had a perfect grace from the time she was conceived. According to my Bible, according to Bible on your lap, Romans 3:23 goes there, please. Romans 3:23. Some of you might wonder, why don't you just quote it? Yes, I can quote it, but I want you to turn your Bible to that location so you can see it with your own eyes. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. All. That means everybody except Mary? No, everybody. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is not one person in human race who is not a sinner. I know some of you guys think that you are perfect, especially ladies. My wife almost convinced me. But you are not perfect, to your surprise. Thirdly, perpetual virginity. Perpetual virginity. This is the belief that Mary remained a virgin throughout all her life. They claim that she had taken a vow of a lifelong celibacy and knew no man. What about this concept? I'm glad you're thinking. Mark chapter 6, please. Verse 3. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. It is not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simeon, Simon, I assume, and are not his sister here with us, and they are offended at him. That means Jesus had half brother, half sisters. As a matter of fact, if I'm understanding correctly, there are two sisters, at least according to Talmud or tradition says, two sisters and three brothers. That means Mary knew Joseph, like a normal husband and wife. So perpetual virginity just went out the window. And some might say, well, how about adoption? Well, I don't see it in the Bible. Fourth theology they come up with is the assumption. This is the belief that Mary was taken bodily from the earth to heaven so she wouldn't have to endure the decay in the grave. However, this belief is dependent on the traditional stories and there's no biblical basis for this one. Fifth theology would be the Jesus as a co-redeemer. I'm going to say this very carefully. Not all Catholic believes this. There's some Catholics, especially some now in the Mexico area, you'll find a statue of cross, Jesus Christ on the cross. On the backside of this cross, there will be Mary, exactly the same way, would hang on the cross. What's the concept? Is that Mary is a co-redeemer with Jesus Christ. Do you find it anywhere? Jesus crucified with on the other side in the crucifix that Jesus, Mary crucified. No, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, crying for her son. As a matter of fact, when he was resurrected, Mary was there too. Folks, don't go by the religion, go by the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can regenerate it. I'm not saying that all Roman Catholic peoples are wrong, or the doctrines are wrong. As a matter of fact, none of the Roman Catholic people would dare to challenge the deity of Jesus Christ. Some cult and some liberal Protestant people said, well, Jesus Christ is just a good teacher. How dare they do that? However, the Catholic idea of worshiping Mary or praying to Mary is wrong. It's not biblical. When you worship Mary and pray to Mary, that is idolatry. So some Protestant people will go to the other extreme of the spectrum and they will say they will just ignore Mary. While they studied Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and Hannah and other people, other ladies, while they're studying those ladies, and they would not study Virgin Mary. Let me put it this way. Here's a plastic bowl. This plastic bowl is nothing any special. If I put something special in it, it becomes special. Consider this as Mary's tummy, like this. But Mary is not special. Yes, she is godly. She was a godly woman. But the one who was inside her womb, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who came in human form, is special. You understand? Don't consider the container is special. The one inside is special. I know it is kind of this is Susanna Pizzi's handiwork. Can you imagine me walking around like this? I better put it down before I break it. Virgin Mary should not be neither exalted or discounted, but held in respect as model of devotion, obedience, and faith. Let's move down to the verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown a great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." Underline next verse 62, please. So they made a sign to his father and what they would have him called. And he asked for the writing tablet and wrote the saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke in praising God. Verse 65. And then fear came upon all who dwelt around them, and all this saying was discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. As I stated before in the last study, the Israel had a spiritual darkness for 400 years. Last prophet, Malachi, prophesied, and he was completely ignored by the people of Israel. Let's go to the Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Are we having fight in the side of the nursery? Sounds like it. Whoever wins, we'll take them. Verse 5 of chapter 4 of Malachi. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Would that be the reincarnation of Elijah? No, when you read, it will be a spirit and power of Elijah. This prophet, like Elijah, would be stern and powerful and intimidated by the rulers and bonded by in purpose. He would lead the people to repentance before the Messiah to come. I'm sure we cannot imagine how these people were happy to see this late child of their old parents. And they were rejoicing, and because especially this child was Charles' birth was prophesied by angel before. Traditionally, baby boys used to get the father's name or the one of the relatives' name. We see the same kind of example. One of my friends who is a pastor up in Durango, Colorado, he is Ernest Finkelier IV. So his daddy was Ernest, his grandpa was Ernest, and his grandpa was Ernest. So if there's somebody called, "Hey, Ernest," all four people turn around. I thought, boy, your parents must have a great imagination for the names. And kind of the same style here. By the way, I see on the line of verse 62, this is the kinds of things that I see that God really has a sense of humor. first of all, God created you, right? That's a great sense of humor. And this reminds me, remember Zechariah, he is a mute. He couldn't speak, but his hearing capability is still fine. They had to make a sign to him and to talk to him. He could hear them just fine. Good example is when I came to the United States in 1981, as you can tell, I don't speak English perfectly like you guys, right? So they, you know what they did? They talked real loud to me. Can you hear me? I'm like, oh yeah, I can hear you just fine. I think you're an idiot. I didn't say that. Be careful how you treat the handicapped people. Just because they are handicapped, that doesn't mean they lost their dignity or their pride. Treat them well. John the Baptist was the prophet of the highest, introducing Israel, the son of the highest, and who was conceived in the Mary's womb by the power of the highest, that is Holy Spirit. Verse 67. Now we find the joy of Zechariah. Now his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has prophesied of the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. You, child, that is Messiah. And for you will, I'm sorry, that's John the Baptist. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of you, our God, with which the day spring, you might want to underline and write sunrise, from the high has visited us to give light to those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Zechariah had 9 long months to think about what God did and what God is doing. And also he had to think about the lack of faith in God. When the opportunity was given to him, he had something great to think about and say about, is praising God. Any period of discipline, whether it's a nation or individual, it seems like a never ending. However, when it disciplines end, we must praise God for his faithfulness. Are you going through God's discipline? If you don't know you are going through God's discipline, you are in big trouble while you are in the discipline period. Zechariah's example should teach us. Number one, don't press God to end your discipline. Don't press God to end your discipline. Number one, it's a waste of time. Number two, God is not the one who can be pushed around by you or me. Until that time is over, God will allow us to go through a difficult time to teach us to be more like Jesus Christ. Second thing we should learn from Zechariah is don't hold others responsible for the discipline you are receiving from the Lord. I've seen some people, while they're going through difficult discipline by God, they say, well, it's your fault that I am in this situation. Folks, unless true repentance is started, restoration will not happen. You understand? Until I said, this is my fault, I'm taking a full responsibility, the restoration will not happen. The sooner you take the responsibility, the sooner you repent, the sooner you will be in the restoration. Thirdly, when it is time to be restored, draw attention away from yourself and to the Lord and His plan. You may say, well, because I'm so spiritual that I'm out of His discipline. No, you're not. No, I'm not. We got in trouble because we were not spiritual, remember? So while we are in the discipline time and then He takes us out of that discipline time, let us give thanks to God. This prophecy by Zechariah is truly God-inspired because he was not talking about himself, but he was talking about Messiah, coming Messiah, even though he didn't know about him at all. He loved him. He was a passion about him. He was not talking about his newborn son, even though he loves him to death. But he was talking about coming Messiah. Zechariah didn't know much about Jesus, but he loved him. Folks, we know a lot about Jesus. Why is that we are not loving him with all of our heart and mind and soul? Did you think about that? Why did Jesus Christ, the love for Jesus Christ, always get in the back seat? It should not be. Love for God should come to our foremost area of our lives. Let's make an application. Number one, we can truly rejoice in God our Savior in spite of all difficult circumstances if we put our trust in Him and be obedient to His word. Second application would be, there is only one God who redeemed us from the eternal damnation with His own sacrifice. That is Jesus, no one else, not Mary, not you, not me. He alone deserves our worship and adoration. Third application is, any period of discipline, whether it is a nation or the individual, can seem never-ending, but when the discipline ends, God's praise should fill our mouth. I hope that remain in your heart throughout the week and throughout your life. Let's stand up and pray.